In a few minutes, one of the biggest employers in America grapples with all the employees who leave. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled unanimously yesterday that the city of Philadelphia violated the First Amendment rights of Catholic Social Services when it stopped working with that agency on placements into foster care. This after the organization refused to work with same-sex couples. Lawyers for the city had argued that was discrimination, but the Supreme Court ruled the city's position violated the Catholic agency's religious rights. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on how this ruling will affect other organizations.
The court decided this case on relatively narrow grounds, says Carrie Franklin at the Williams Institute at UCLA.
The court wrote the decision in a way that was limited to the facts in this case.
Much like a ruling from a few years ago, Franklin says, where the justices decided in favor of a Colorado baker who refused to make a cake for a same-sex wedding.
We've now had two cases in a row where the court has declined to take this huge bite out of anti-discrimination law.
Still, she says, the ruling is a win for religious rights over LGBTQ rights. And Catherine Franke at Columbia Law School says it could end up applying pretty broadly.
The court is now ranking constitutional rights. There are top-tier rights, religious liberty at the very top, and equality, whether it's race or sex or LGBT equality, is a second-tier right.
And Franke says that's indicative of a shift at the Supreme Court. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, it's been a lackluster week so far for stock prices. The S&P is down 0.6% week so far. The Dow is down 1.9% since the close on Friday. If today's also a fizzle, it'll be the most anemic week for the Dow since January. This morning, not much movement. Dow and S&P futures each down by about 0.1%. The NASDAQ future, though, is up 0.2%. All the hiring done by Amazon gets lots of attention. The firm is the second largest private employer in the U.S. Less attention has been paid to the number of people who leave, especially jobs at Amazon warehouses. According to reporting by the New York Times, attrition at Amazon warehouses is much higher than is typical in that part of the industry. Among the questions, is all that leaving seen as a bug or a feature? Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter Jody Cantor and Times technology reporter Karen Wise worked together on a reporting project published this week in the Times with the title, The Amazon Customers Never See. Thanks, each of you, for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Karen, among warehouse workers at Amazon, that's not a typo there in the New York Times, attrition for workers is how high?
Roughly 150% a year. It's actually so high that Amazon tracks it weekly. It's about 3% a week. It's the equivalent of having to replace the entire workforce every 8 months. And so it creates these incredible pressures and demands to constantly be scooping up new people and putting them through the system.
Now, Jody, why could this possibly be the case when every single other business I ever talk to is trying to lower overhead by retaining employees?
Well, it turns out that some of it relates back to Jeff Bezos' ideas. He was afraid of a stagnant workforce, what he would call a march to mediocrity. He envisioned Amazon as like the Marine Corps. You would come for 2 years, it would be really hard, and then you would move on. So turnover is almost built into the system. If you look at the way they pay, they just don't expect to keep people for very long. And also, promotion is very limited.
Yes. So for example, they use a lot of technology to monitor worker performance and productivity, which means that one manager might oversee 100 hourly associates. So there's just structurally not that much room for promotion or growth because technology is doing so much of the management. It's the same thing with the hiring. You know, you have this automated hiring process. It's called internally lights out hiring because it's not a human doing the interviews. And so there is this kind of lack of human connection that develops between the associates and management. And so you see this incredible constant turnover. And there's kind of open question now because the turnover is so high and Amazon's needs for growth and employment is so large, whether or not it's sustainable.
Now, what did Amazon tell you about this, I would say, blockbuster number, 150% attrition rate, an attrition rate you might be able to see even from space? They suggest what, that maybe you shouldn't get too caught up in a number?
They repeated a phrase that attrition is just one metric and without broader context doesn't have enough meaning. But they really didn't elaborate on that. And they definitely didn't say that that number was unacceptable. We spoke with a VP for human resources in the warehouses who said, yes, we want to build careers for people, but we're also really happy to provide short-term employment for people in the time of need. And so that is sort of this open question again of whether or not they can kind of bring that down or have the intent to bring that down.
But David, I think you're asking the right question, which is that 150% attrition number a giant red danger sign, or is it the secret to Amazon's domination?
Karen Wise is technology reporter for the New York Times based in Seattle. Jody Cantor is a New York Times investigative reporter and co-author of She Said, Unbreaking the Harvey Weinstein Sexual Abuse Story. The piece, The Amazon Customers Don't See, was published in the New York Times this week. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also talked to that reporting duo about another challenge at Amazon, the company's often automated approach to HR, which makes some employees and their families feel like they're dealing with a black hole. Marketplace.org, if you missed that part of our conversation on the air. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. Our technical director is Jay Siebold. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.